From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. It's been 40 years since the poet Sylvia Plath killed herself. She left behind a husband, two children, and a collection of poems that would make her famous. This month, three new works examine her life. A book explores the relationship between Plath and the poet, Ted Hughes. A new film starring Gwyneth Paltrow as Plath opens this weekend. And a paperback of a novel based on Plath's life is just out. NPR's Lynn Neary reports on the enduring interest in this complex artist.
Many of Sylvia Plath's earliest fans discovered her not through poetry, but through her novel, The Bell Jar. A fictionalized account of Plath's first depression and attempted suicide, The Bell Jar is one reason Plath's fame has always been linked to mental illness and death. But her poetry has also contributed to her reputation for an obsession with death. Kate Moses, whose novel Wintering is based on Plath's life, was first introduced to her poetry in school.
They basically just handed out copies of a few of her poems, a few of her angriest, most furious poems, and said, well, this is by a woman who committed suicide at 30 and taped up her children in the next room to keep them from exposure to the gas when she put her head in the oven. And so with that kind of introduction to Plath, I don't think it's really any wonder that I found the work totally terrifying.
Perhaps the angriest of Plath's angry poems is Daddy, addressed to her father, who died when she was 10. The poem is a brilliant but scathing renunciation of male authority. Plath recorded the poem shortly before her death. Here is an excerpt from that recording.
I was 10 when they buried you. At 20, I tried to die and get back to you. I thought even the bones would do, but they pulled me out of the sack and they stuck me together with glue. And then I knew what to do. I made a model of you, a man in black with a Mein Kampf look and a love of the rack and the screw, and I said, I do...
The man to whom Plath said, I do, was Ted Hughes, a brilliant poet in his own right. It was Hughes' affair with another woman which triggered the depression that led to Plath's suicide. Some of Plath's fans blamed Hughes for her death and criticized his handling of Plath's literary estate. But Hughes, says Diane Middlebrook, was really a victim of Plath's suicide, forced to deal with its consequences for the rest of his life. Middlebrook explores the complex relationship between Plath and Hughes in a new book, Her Husband. Middlebrook says theirs is a great love story, a source of endless fascination. Their first encounter at Oxford is legendary. After Plath's poetry was savagely reviewed in a student literary magazine, she went to a party to confront her critics, Hughes among them. Hughes responded by kissing Plath.
And Plath responded by biting him. And he responded to that by pulling off her hairband and her earrings and telling her he was taking them as trophies and then striding out of the room. When the two of them left the room and appeared in public, Hughes was bleeding.
Their passion continued into marriage and grew into an equally passionate literary partnership. Hughes won early fame for his poetry, a source of some frustration for Plath. But, says Middlebrook, they both wanted the other to succeed. And for Plath, the marriage provided a way to get everything she wanted.
All the women who were successful around her and in the history of literature seemed to be women who often they were not married and usually they didn't have children. Plath wanted to be married, she wanted to have children, but she also wanted to be a writer. And when she meets Ted Hughes, she thinks she's found someone who is so strong, both as a poet and a human being, that he can take her strength. So it'll be okay for her to marry him.
The new movie Sylvia also focuses on the relationship between Plath and Hughes, beginning with their meeting at Oxford.
Who the hell are you?
Sylvia Plath.
Sylvia Plath, the one whose poem...
You tore it to shreds.
No,
yes.
No, it was the editor. I must have known you were very beautiful.
Producer Allison Owen says she'd been wanting to make a movie about Plath for years and was especially drawn to the story of Plath and Hughes.
It satisfied all my predilections for romance, but also tragedy. It was as if there were two people who were too big somehow to be together.
The film depicts Plath's increasing insecurity as Hughes wins both the attention of literary critics and admiring women. The marriage unravels, culminating in Hughes leaving Plath for another woman. It is during this period, says Owen, in the months leading up to her suicide, that Plath writes her best poetry.
The irony for Sylvia was that she was only able to get one through losing the other. It was only the deep depression that losing Ted drove her into that was able to create the manic energy with which she created Ariel.
Ariel, a collection of poetry that Robert Lowell described as Plath's last irresistible blaze, was published after her death. It opens with a poem about motherhood, Morning Song. Here is a reading from that poem.
All night your moth breath flickers among the flat pink roses. I wake to listen. A far sea moves in my ear. One cry and I stumble from bed, cow heavy and floral in my Victorian nightgown. Your mouth opens clean as a cat's.
When she was 8 months pregnant, Kate Moses read Morning Song for the first time. She discovered a writer far more complex than the one she had been taught about in school.
That poem was such an uncanny and original expression of the complicated emotions that women have as they become mothers. And from that point, I literally went out and bought Plath's collected poems and took them with me to the hospital when I gave birth. And that was what I was reading when I was nursing my newborn son, was Sylvia Plath.
Ultimately, Moses wanted to understand what Plath was going through in her final days. Plath's last journal was destroyed by Ted Hughes because he did not want his children to see it. So Moses decided to enter Plath's life through fiction. In her novel Wintering, Moses imagines Plath taking care of her two children on her own during one of London's coldest winters. Struggling against the depression that will kill her, Plath is beginning to create a new life for herself. Moses ends the story before the suicide because, she says, Plath cannot be defined by her death alone.
Even though we keep trying to pigeonhole her in some way. In fact, that's what her artistic breakthrough was really about, was getting away from, as she called them, the rules, the rules, the rules. And I think that part of our fascination with Plath is that we continue to try to figure out who it was that she really was and why she made the decisions that she did.
But for those who come under Plath's poetic spell, the hunt for answers is likely to continue, ensuring her place in literary history as surely as her poetry. Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
Hear recordings of Plath reading several of her poems at our website, npr.org.